Man, I'm excited about Palm Sunday. Anybody else? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just because I get to wave a palm branch around in church because it's cool or something, and the kids love them. The kids got excited this morning about being able to hand them out and everything. And on Palm Sunday, you know, we celebrate the resurrection. I mean, not the resurrection, but the entry, the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ coming in to the final Passion Week. This is what you call the Passion Week. And so next Sunday we have Easter. I encourage you guys to invite as many people as you can. The kids are going to have all kinds of fun Easter activities. They've got a scavenger hunt planned. They've got a photo booth planned. They're going to get their pictures taken, different things like that. And I want to share a fresh message about the resurrection of Jesus Christ on next Sunday. So make sure you're here for that if you're in town. I know a lot of people go to like their mom's place and stuff like that. But turn with me, if you would. I want to talk about the triumphal entry. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, but I want to ask you this question first. How can I have true victory in my life? You ever thought about that? How can I have true... Now, sometimes we have victory in one area or another area, but Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life to the full, life more abundantly. In other words, life 100% in every... Even to the smallest detail, he wants you to have victory in your life. And in that, we want to say, God, if there's an area that I feel defeated, anybody ever feel defeated? Anybody ever feel like the boxer in the ring that's in the back of the corner holding his hands up, and it's all you can do just to be in the defensive mode, just to block the punches? And that can come through people. Of things or perceptions of what people say or didn't say. That can come through all kinds of just circumstances in life. Like, the last car that I had that was running isn't running anymore. It just seems like no matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I work, you know, I got taxes coming out, this and that, whatever. It could be financial. It could be loss of some kind or lack of another. But it seems like we have to have this overcoming mentality in life in order to just survive. In order to just survive. We were talking about last Friday at the men's group, Friday morning, 7 o'clock, here in the cafe, as we're studying about the disciples and everything. And we were talking about prayer and different disciples. And I said, you know what? I can't even survive without a prayer life. I just can't. With all the stuff coming, I mean, when you get news about this or news about that, or just trying to walk through life and you're hearing about all the issues maybe the different people are having and stuff like that, it can become wearisome. I cannot survive without going to the throne of God. I cannot survive without casting my cares upon Him because He cares for us. I cannot survive. I would be out of my mind if I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd be out of my mind. Insane. Insane. So there's areas that come up and God reveals them to us in different areas as we walk from faith to faith, as we go from glory to glory. And as we said before, you'll never make it to the next, you'll never be promoted to the next level of glory until your present situation, your present mess is made glorious. So what is the victory that you are looking for in your life? How can you have true victory in your life? And we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 21 this morning. And this is the story of Jesus' triumphal entry. It's actually in all four of the Gospels. I'm gleaning from Matthew 21 this morning. But he says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. Loose them and bring them to me. Jesus is giving a prophetic word here of what's going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. He knew. How many know that Jesus knows where you're going to be this afternoon? He knows where you're going to be on Tuesday afternoon. He knows where you're going to be a month from now. If He hasn't taken you home by then, even then He'll know where you'll be. Amen. And so He knows what's ahead of you. He knows that there's a problem ahead of you. But He's got the answer to the problem before you even knew the problem existed. And God wants to incorporate us in His plan A, the redemption of mankind, as the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, who are set apart for good works. The works of what? The works of believing God. The works of prayer. The works of growing in our faith. The works of going into all the world and preaching the gospel and making disciples. He wants to incorporate us. He wants to partner. Isn't it good that God wants to partner with us in that? See, God asks for my service in fulfilling His mission. That's how He does it. Well, God will do it. Guess how He does it? He does it by empowering you by His Holy Spirit to be His hands in this earth, to be His feet in this earth, to be His mouthpiece in this earth. That's how God manifests Himself. He said His desire is to fill the whole earth with His glory. How does He do it? What is His glory? His glory is Jesus Christ. So the more like Christ we become, the more this earth is filled with His glory. And He asks for our service. Now, Jesus could have went ahead. He knew about the donkey ahead. He could have went ahead and just done it Himself. A lot of times we just want God, you just do it yourself. But sometimes He's saying, I want you to do something. I want you to do something, because when you activate your faith, it's going to show you His character. It's going to show you His mission. And it's going to show you that He wants to partner with you in that. See, verse 3 says, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately, He will send them. He already knew what they were going to say down the road. Remember, the Bible says, don't worry about what to say when you go before kings and governors and things like that. Don't sit there and worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. The Holy Spirit will bring it out of you. He'll bring it out of you. See, God can ask me for anything. I must be willing to give it. I must be willing to give it. He's sending His disciples ahead, and He says, go. There's going to be a donkey there. Loose it and let it go. See, this is even a prophetic type of what He was getting ready to do. He's already speaking of the victory about which He's getting ready to loose you and let you go. He's getting ready to set you free. But He's going to show them by saying, go to that donkey first. Some of us may feel like that donkey sometimes. He's going to them first. He's showing them a type of His victory, a type of His salvation right then and there. And how does He do it? By sending His disciples. He could have done it Himself. By sending His disciples to go do it. And God can ask me for anything. He said, when you get there, they may say, you know, but tell them the Master has use of it. Tell them the Lord has need of it. What is the Lord saying to us? What does the Lord have need of from me? Lord, what is it? What is it? Is it this bottle of water? Is it? What is it? What is it, God? Well, it was beautiful last week when we had our service, and my daughter Adrian, who's still out of town, coming back later, was leading worship. And what was that song that she flowed into? I give my all to you or something. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. And I want to be in that place where I don't say, unless it's what I really want to hold on to. I want to be in that place where I can truly say that song for reals. You know what I'm saying? And I must be willing to give it. If God says this, you know what I got? You've heard the story of the when Jesus was sitting there leaning on the offering box in front of the temple one day. That's just paraphrased. But He was watching as they brought their tithes. Jesus was always looking for faith. Read through the Gospels. What's He looking for? He's always looking for faith. He talked to the centurion. And the centurion came to Him by faith, and all these came up to Him, and Pharisees and Sadducees and religious, even His own disciples. And He says, I haven't seen such great faith in all this area. What was He looking for? Faith. Jesus is sitting there by the temple on the first day of the week. We bring the increase of our first fruits and our offerings. And this woman comes up with two little, I actually have a replica of one, two little pieces of money. Two of them. And she drops them in there. It didn't make a whole lot of sound. But He says, that woman. That woman. Because it didn't matter if it was a dollar or if it was $10 billion. It didn't matter. It was all relative to where she was. When she says, I give myself away, everything went in there. Everything. Take it all. And she says, what she did, they're going to talk about her. Even today, we're talking about her. Even today. God can ask me for anything, and I must be willing to give it. See, in verse 4 and 5, as he's going on, he's preparing, he says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Jesus Christ fulfilled every word because he is the word to the T, to the day, to the minute, to the exact type, everything, to the second. He says, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. Why? Because God's word says it's going to happen. God's word. He says in verse 4 and 5, in verse 5, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Who knew when that colt was born, the day it was born, that it was born for such a time as this? That it was born for that day, that glorious day, when the master had use for it? Who knows? He could have been sitting around there in that stinky old stall the whole time thinking, I don't think I'm worth anything. I don't think God could use me for anything. I don't think donkeys think that kind of stuff. Maybe they do. Maybe we can ask them one day. But just think about that. Have you ever thought about your life and could God ever use me? But you never know the day when the Lord calls, when the Lord speaks and said, I have use of you. I have need of you now for such a time as this, right now. And so in that, we have to respond in obedience. As he's looking for faith, faith is always expressed in obedience. And obedience will manifest God's word in my life. It just will. We see that. We see that through the scripture we just read. Part B, obedience will manifest God's word in my life. If the disciples did not go and do as he said, then the fulfillment of the prophecy that was written in verse 5 would not have come to pass. Of course, we know that the Lord is sovereign. He would have just found somebody else to do it. Oh, don't let me be the one that stands before the Lord and he says, you know, I had this, that, and the other for you. But because you resisted in faith, because you resisted in obedience, I found someone else to do it. And this is the end. This is what I showed them. This is my glory that was revealed through them. But you had opportunity, and it was to respond by faith. Obedience will always manifest God's word in my life. So I have to ask myself this question this morning. What does the Lord have need of in my life? What does he have need of in my life? He needs all of us. I give myself away so you can use me, Lord. What does he have need of? Does he have need of? God wants to use us. Don't let me be the restricting force. Don't let me be the resistance. Don't let me be the clog in the pipeline of your living water, O Lord. Don't let me be the thing that is causing less of anything of you to flow through me and into this world, God, as an open vessel. What do you have need of in my life, Lord? See, in verse 6, he says, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. Man, I want that on my epitaph. I want that. There's a great book by Bob Beaufort, and it's called Halftime. And it's really written specifically to people who are kind of in their midlife area. And it looks at the halftime, because like a football game, you play the first half, then you go into the locker room and you assess, we've been doing this well, this we need to improve on, here's our strategy for the next half. And this book speaks about that even in our own life. And your halftime moment can be at any time in your life. You can be 185 years old and have a halftime moment. Because you look back, and what he talks about is going from success to significance. And so in that, as he's talking about this, he's looking at God. What do you have need of? What would I want said on my epitaph? Here lies so-and-so. Here lies Sam. He, fill in the blank. What is it? What is it that I want to say? I think verse 6 would be a fantastic thing to have on our tombstone, wouldn't it? So, put your name in there. Went and did as Jesus commanded him. So Sam went and did as Jesus commanded him. So Eddie went and did as Jesus commanded him. So Jane went and did as Jesus commanded her. Or whatever your name is. Put your name there. Make this thing real. Make it relative to you. It's not just stories. This is his love letter to you specific. He's talking to us. He's not just talking to the brother or sister on the other side of the church. He's not just talking to those that are out there that are lost. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. And he wants it to be so real in your life. He goes on to say in verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. They brought it. They did what he called them to do. See, God is honored and exalted by my obedience. They laid what they had. We don't know if it was cold or hot or whatever, but they laid their coat on the donkey. It could have smelled like the donkey, but they didn't care. Their obedience exalted God. Your obedience exalts God. Your obedience does. He's honored by it. It shows that we believe. Amen. It shows that we believe. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Powerful question. Are you a follower? Are you a disciple? The word disciple means disciplined learners. We discipline ourselves by coming here on Sunday morning and gather with the saints. We discipline ourselves by joining a life group and growing. Amen? That's what disciple means. We can't say we're a disciple if we're not disciplined. Discipline means you get up and you pray every morning. Discipline means you get up and you get in your word every day. That's what disciple means. We throw it around so loosely, but it means discipline. It means I subject myself to the habits that need to be performed in my life in order to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And God is always honored and exalted by my obedience. And he goes on to say in verse 8, and the very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Look at that. You never know what kind of chain reaction you're going to cause through your obedience. Sometimes people are waiting. I've seen it happen before. Well, I'd really be free in worship if somebody else was. But little did you know that 12 other people were saying the same thing. Somebody's got to spark the fire. Somebody's got to cause the ripple effect. Somebody's got to do it. He says that they began to do that. They began to lay their clothes on there and cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. You've got to understand the types that they're fulfilling here, what the palm branches mean. We can wave our palms, amen, every Sunday. It means victory. It means victory is there. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter how defeated you feel, lift up your hands, praise God. I got a letter from the landlords for this week, and I was just like, Pastor Nikki's like, open it, open it. I was like, no, I'm going to my office. She's like, I want to see what it says. I said, no, I'm going to my office. I'm going to pray before I even read it. Because I want to make sure I receive the information in God's perspective. I was like, okay, whatever. God, I'm still believing you. Hallelujah. I'm still going to praise you. I'm not going to get scared. No weapon formed against me. That's nothing. My God is able to supply all my needs. And I've got to build myself up in the most holy faith, even ridiculous. Driving home that day, I was just like, oh, this is so cool. You guys know Kirk Franklin? Pastor Nick is like, please don't sing Kirk Franklin in church today, Pastor Sam. Please don't sing Kirk Franklin. I'm going to sing Kirk Franklin. Yeah. Yeah, I was driving down the road and the bass was turned up. I can't remember which one of my kids was driving the car last time, but they had that bass cranking. And I hear this, boom, 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 boom. And that song, Stomp? Make me clap my hands, make me want to dance. I was goofy. If you had a video on me, it would have gone viral. It would have gone viral. Make me clap my hands. I know I'm supposed to have them on the steering wheel. I'm driving with my knee. Make me want to dance and stomp. When I think about the goodness and the fullness of God, I'm grateful. I pity the hateful. because the Lord brought me through this stuff. I'm working on that part. We'll do that next week for Easter. I'm just getting crazy and silly in the Lord. Anybody want to just believe God with me? I've got to build myself up in the whole. I was teaching John the bass line this morning. Come on. Doon, 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 doon. Come on, we got this. We can do it. We can do it. And all the people say, GP, are you with me? Oh, yeah, we in the church ain't going nowhere. There's a really cool bass line after that. I love it. That's right. God's property. God's property. I love it. And that was after receiving some news that in the world, in the that kingdom, amen, would have devastated a lot of people. I don't care. Hey, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches. Lord, it's your church. Move among your people. Let's do this thing. Come on. Amen. Amen. For such a time as this. There's a lost and dying world that could care less about whatever. They could care less about whatever. They need to see Jesus Christ manifested in some of his disciplined disciples. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about walking in the glory and the power and the authority and the victory and the triumphal entry that I can go through every day because he says, all power in heaven has been given to me by the Father. And now go, you do likewise. You do like me. Amen. I can see Jesus on that donkey. He's like, make me want to dance. Make me want and stomp. That's probably where Kirk Franklin got that song from. Yeah. Make me clap my hands. Jesus, what you clapping about? Because I'm getting ready to go die for some people. And I'm getting ready to give them life and life more abundantly. And I'm getting ready to give them victory over everything. Yeah, by faith. By faith. See, I paved the way for the Lord's work by laying it all down. I paved the way. They were laying their clothes down. They're laying down whatever. They didn't want even the donkey's feet to touch the dirt. They honored him. They exalted him. They understood and they were paving the way for the Lord's work. Lord, let me pave the way. Let me pave the way for the children that are in the nursery. They might not even know me. Who knows? Let me pave the way. Let me pave the way so that they could look back and they sing songs like we did this morning. All the Father saw in the days of old, would you do it again? God, we heard you move mightily. Remember that one time when the little Spanish lady came through the fire tunnel on that Sunday and she doesn't speak a word of English, but as the saints began to pray over her, all I knew was Gloria a Dios, hallelujah, and Spiritus Santos. That's the only thing I knew. And Pastor Nancy's over there just praying in the spirit over her. And it was like she understood every word she said. If you could have been here. And then she began to shake. And then she began to speak in other tongues. And then she hit the floor. And the ushers ran up and put the prayer shawl on. Oh, in the days of old. Would you do it again, God? Would you do it again? Man, we have just been saturated by testimonies of what God is doing. All through the week. The power of God moving in people. When we just let go and when we lay it all down, we pave a way. We can't make God do anything. But we can make room for him to. Amen? We can make room for him to. He's got to empty ourselves out. Trust you, Lord. Trust you, God. Tomorrow's not promised. Why would I even worry about it? All that does is interfere with my joy today. So, God, I'll just lay it all down. Be exalted. Pave a way for you, Lord. See, in verse 9, he says, then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save now. Hosanna. If you're at that place of desperation, cry out, Hosanna. Save now. Come in. Do it in this thing right now, God. Hosanna. Hosanna. Save now, Lord. Save now. See, my praise of God is in direct proportion to my revelation of him. They began to praise him because they understood who he was. He was fulfilling the scriptures. He was riding in, even though their revelation of him was only partial. Some of them were even thinking that he's going to come in and restore an earthly kingdom. that he was going to overthrow Caesar and Herod and all those. But their revelation was still that he was victorious. Their revelation was still that he was a conquering king. Riding in on this donkey was a sign of victory from kings of the past. So even though their revelation wasn't completely full, they still had enough to declare Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, you are blessed when you come in the name of the Lord. You are blessed when you function and operate in the kingdom of God. You are blessed. You are blessed and highly favored. You can't help it. Why? Because God says, I watch over my word to perform it. I do. My word doesn't return to me void. That's why it's so important, as we've been talking about our faith declarations, building ourselves up in the most holy faith. Let that word get to a point. Let the seed of the word get in you until it begins to just dwell and bubble and boil over until it's just so much a part that you're like, there's no way I could think it's not. There's no way I could think it's not. Building myself up in the most holy faith. Like Pastor Nikki's been encouraging everybody to do our zero negativity challenge. Everything. It's amazing when you start to do that how much negativity actually comes out of your mouth or how much negativity comes into your mind. But to say, you know what, as a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ, I take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and I will not allow that to come out of my mouth. I will not allow that in my mind. My mind is set on things above. My mind is the mind of Christ. I don't function in this kingdom here. I function in the kingdom from above. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I represent. Anybody want to represent? I represent the Most High God. And anything I need, I just call upon him because that's the kingdom I come from. This is what we need right here. He supplies it. He supplies it. He says in verse 10, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Man. What's going on over there? Who is this? What's going on over at New Beginnings? Who is this King of Glory? Who is this Jesus? Who is this that they're exalting? What's going on in Sister So-and-so's life? There's something different. There's something different going on. Let the world see that there's something going on. Let the world see the King of Glory walking in us. How is it? We walk in victory. We walk in triumph. Singing the whole time, no matter what hell and high water is coming up in our life, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I am blessed. And I am his. I'm his beloved. I'm his beloved. See, my praise of Jesus generates a spiritual hunger in others. It just does. Faith breeds faith. Obedience stirs obedience. Trust stirs trust. My hunger, my spiritual hunger. What is it? What they got? What's going on over there? I don't know. They look ridiculous. There goes so and so. They just took a lap around the sanctuary with that flag again. I don't know what's going on. But and the flag fell off, but they're still running. I don't know what it is, but I want it. I want it because I don't want to be in this place bound up in fear, doubt, or unbelief. I don't want to be in this place of seeing that there's more. I want it. I want it. It creates a hunger in others. Our praise generates a spiritual hunger in others. See, he also says, I have to ask myself this question, is my honor and praise of Jesus causing others to seek him? Woe to me if I've been on the job for years and someone says, I didn't know you were a Christian. Woe to me. Is my honor and praise of Jesus causing others to seek him? Is it stirring up something? You have gifts, the office gifts, given to the church in Ephesians chapter 4:11. Pastor Nikki and I were talking about this. The gift of evangelists. All those gifts were for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So therefore, the evangelist's primary job isn't to just go evangelize, although that is a function of his office, just like it's a function of an apostle and a pastor as well. We should all, as disciples, when he said go into all the world, he didn't put parentheses of, you know, exceptions in that. He was speaking to everybody. Insert name here. But in that, the evangelist has the divine gift and ability to stir up the heart of evangelism, to teach on evangelism, to equip the saints for evangelism. See, because their burning desire to evangelize is contagious. I knew a guy that led me to the Lord, Bobby. You may have heard talk about him before. He's type A. I guarantee you he would offend 95% of everybody sitting here. He just would. But that's what God needed to do to lead me to the Lord. He was an in-your-face evangelist, but God would put him to people that needed to have somebody in their face. I mean, he would send him out into the toughest of the toughest areas, and he wasn't afraid of anybody. He'd say, I know you got a gun to my head, but you need Jesus in your life. And wouldn't think nothing of it. And it was contagious. It's like, man, I want to be able to share the word of God with the clerk at the grocery store like he did. That was creative. That was cool. That was awesome. Everybody he meets, he's want to make sure that they're a follower of Jesus Christ. Everybody. I was never with him at any time that somebody did not cross his path that he didn't know, yes or no, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. If they said yes, he'd say, praise God. What's God doing in your life? If they said no, well, then you got the type A out, depending on the person. But he would make sure the gospel was preached. It could be, hey, you know what? I used to not believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I was bound up in alcoholism and pornography and this, that, and the other. But then I found the one true God, and he saved me, and he delivered me, and he set me free, and he put my feet upon a rock, and he's filled me with so much joy and so much peace because he forgave me, because he loved me. And you know what, brother? He can forgive you too. And everything can start clean. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, he makes all things new. And he would start to testify. How do we overcome? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Tell somebody what Jesus has done in our life. See, he says in verse 11, so the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. This is Jesus. This is who he is. The revelation of him at the time, that's Jesus, the prophet from Galilee. That's all they knew. But because of the obedience of the disciples, God, if we truly believe his word, then we truly believe that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. How many want to be Spirit-led? How many want to follow in his spirit? Just take me where you go, Lord. Sometimes we don't even know why we do what we do. I told the crazy story a few months ago when I was exhausted after a Sunday morning service and then an iConnect or something, and I was finally at a point about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, I'm just going to put my feet on the desk for a few minutes and getting ready for the meeting tonight. And I nodded off for 15, 20 minutes, 45, something like that. And all of a sudden, I woke up, and I was like, what? And I was like, man, I've got the strangest craving for chocolate right now. It was weird. I was like, I want chocolate. And I'm going to give in to that lust of the flesh right now. Pastor Nikki's still snoozing. I'm going to hop in the car, and I'm going to ride up to the store. And I was like, I could have gone to this store down here. I could have gone to another store. And I was like, for some reason, I just had to go to Sheetz. Went to Sheetz. Walk in there. Nobody's in there at all. But I ran into somebody that was a divine appointment that absolutely God lined it up. Absolutely he lined it up. It came through a weird craving of chocolate. I don't care. You say, well, that's kind of really weird, Pastor Sam. That's really not following the spirit. That's following your gut. That's following. Hey, how many know that God uses our senses too? God uses everything. He says that milk is for the young. He said, but solid meat is for those who through reason of use have their senses exercised. That's in Hebrews chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there. But solid meat is for the spiritually mature, who through reason of use, that means you're exercising your gift, have their senses exercised, being sensitive to those leadings of the Holy Spirit. And when he does that, God will arrange the circumstances to tell, he'll arrange it. He'll arrange the circumstances to tell others about Jesus. I don't know why I'm here. I never go here. This is just some kind of weird thing. God told me all of a sudden by the Spirit. And we have to know that still small voice. Otherwise, we'll drive ourselves crazy. Red light. Should I go? Should I stay? Left? Right? No. By the Spirit of God. You'll know because he speaks to us with a still small voice. And the peace of God rules in our hearts. It calls the shots. It gives us direction. not to be flighty and bounce around in our own understanding, but to be led by the Spirit of God. And He will arrange those circumstances. God's working on the scenes over here while we're going this way, because He knows that He's going to direct us in that area, and He's already orchestrated what's going on. He's already got it figured out. We walk by faith. We just say, God, I trust You for this next step, and God, You'll take me there through obedience. But circumstances to tell others about Jesus. In verse 12 and 13, he says, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it shall be written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. My house shall be called a house of prayer. My house. You got to understand what was going on during that time. We've got the feast of Passover coming up. We've got tabernacles. Jesus said, my tabernacle is now with men. Matter of fact, back in Nehemiah, when it was time for tabernacles, he said, go and get the palm branches and lay those down before the temple. This triumphal entry was looking back to when the priest would go in to the temple. When he would go into, whether it be the tabernacle in the wilderness, but when he entered into the Holy of Holies, Jesus was going to the Holy of Holies because he needed to place his blood on the mercy seat. Seven places. We went through that in the fall. Seven places. So that he can bring access to us to have that that restored relationship that we had in the garden. See, Jesus will do radical things in my life to make it known that he desires a relationship over religion. The money changers, they were making profit off the people that had to come to the temple and pay their temple tax, and they had to bring an offering, and they'd be like, you know, I'm supposed to bring two doves in, or I'm supposed to bring a lamb in, and this and that. Like, we got your doves, we got your lamb, we got what you need. I know normally they're priced at $10 a piece, but since this is Passover, they're $185 a piece. They were just taking advantage of people over a religious system. But he threw it all away. He turned the tables with righteous indignation and said, this is not going to happen. My house shall be a house of prayer. My house. He says, I am Emmanuel, God with us, and I now tabernacle with men. He desires relationship. In verse 14, he goes on to say, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, they got mad. All these things start to happen. And the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant. They were mad. Be careful when something starts to stir in you, when the activity of God starts to happen in the atmosphere, and there's something from another kingdom, not the kingdom we come from, that stirs in you and starts to be a slightly bit critical or slightly bit indignant. Because that's a check in our spirit. Yeah, we're supposed to do indecency. Or I've seen some wild, crazy stuff. But the Spirit of God testifies with my spirit that we are sons and daughters of God. And I was like, you know what? God's doing a work in that person right there. I don't know what they had come out of. I don't know what depths of hell they were just rescued from. But whatever, their praise might look ridiculous to me, but praise God, the Spirit of God testifies with my spirit, they're letting it go. That's their personality. That's their style. There's been other times when I've been like, okay, I'm just going to hold back and pray about it. But you see, the preparing the way for Jesus through our obedience and honor and praise will bring others into an encounter with him. It just will. That can lead to their salvation, their deliverance, and their healing. You never know. Look at Paul when he was in prison, and they were shackled, and they had sewer running by their feet as they're in the depths of the prison. And they begin to sing the Psalms and bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. They were probably doing the percussion section with the chains on their arms. I mean, look at the situation they were in. Anybody ever been in a Middle Eastern prison? I haven't either. But it was gruesome. But yet in the midst of that, they were praising, and not just them were set free, but those all around them. You never know how your praise is going to activate something in somebody else and set them free.
Yes.
It'll bring you into an encounter with Him that can lead others to a place of salvation. I don't know what they got. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. But for some reason, I just need, like missionary Ashley Penley. He was talking about Ecuador. And he does an altar call. And he says, in Ecuador, he says, "Now, does anybody need Jesus?" And he's doing it through an interpreter. And the interpreter is like, however they said it in Spanish. And there's a guy going, "I need Jesus, I need Jesus." He's like, "No, do you know of anybody who needs Jesus? I need Jesus, I need Jesus." And finally the interpreter's like, "No, he needs Jesus. He's telling you, he needs Jesus." They'll bring him to an encounter. I don't know what they got, but I need that. I need that life more abundantly. I need that mindset that transcends the kingdoms of this world and the functions of this world and can rise above all that stuff, that can rise above petty little things like offenses and petty little things like insecurities and petty little things. Like, yeah, we're going to have those come. We're all in our flesh. We're going to have them come. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. See, I want to ask you this morning, what must I do now to have victory in my life? What do I have to do? Is anybody willing to do whatever it takes? I was talking about earlier, I said, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Man, I encourage you, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, I'm saying that He stands at the door and knocks. Behold. The Bible says in Psalm 24, He says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, for the King of glory." Who is this King of glory? It is the Lord God Almighty. Do you know how closely those verses tie in to the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ? "Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors." Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody answers it, I'll come in and dine with him and he with me." Behold, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior this morning, I implore you. I want to pray with you this morning. I want you to get with somebody, a mature Christian that you can talk about, answer some questions, and start a new life in that. If you're in a place where you just felt like you've just been beat up, there's been things coming against your marriage, coming against family relationships, coming against a loved one, coming against your own heart from past hurts, and you want to have victory over that. If there's things coming against any area of your life and you say, "God, I want to have victory. What must I do now to have true victory in my life?" You know, I think of the song, "When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He picked me up, and turned me around, and placed my feet on solid ground." It makes me want to shout. See, because in the book of Psalms says, while I was in the miry clay, while I was in the pit, that's not just talking about being unsaved. That's talking about anything you go through as a believer. While I was in the pit, we all go through the pit. But just like Joseph, He takes them from the pit to the palace. If you're in the fire, He says to Daniel, "There's a fourth man in the fire." If you're in a dark, cold, damp lion's den with fear all around you, He says, "You know what? I shut the mouth of the lions." Does anybody have a testimony in this place? Can anybody praise God in this place?
Right.
Can anybody
give
Him the glory in this
all
place?
Right. If He's been good to you, go ahead and stand to your feet. Hallelujah. If He's been good to you, go ahead and stand to your feet now. God is good. Can you say with me, "God is good"?
God is good.
Hallelujah. He is so good. And you know that when man has done all that he can, then that's the perfect setup for a miracle.
Yes.
You believe for a miracle today?
Yes.
Can you believe for a miracle for your situation today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if God can part the Red Sea, and thousands of Israelites can cross over to the other side from their slavery into their freedom, He can do it for you. If God who can send manna down from heaven, and for 40 years he can send manna and provide food daily, and their clothes and their sandals, their shoes on their feet never wear out, then he can do a miracle for you.
Yes.
If God can take 5 loaves and feed thousands of people, then he can do it for you. If God can take a little, the last little bit of oil that a widow had and cause it to never ever run out, he can do it for you. Yes. Can you just say out of your mouth, he can do it for me?
Yes.
He can do it for me. Hallelujah. And I just wanted to tell you that, yes, we're believing. We are believing for $80,000 in the next 5 days. Yes, we're believing for that. We're actually believing for $100,000.
Yes.
We're believing above and beyond just enough. And let me tell you, God reminded me this week that he has shown me in my mind's eye, he has shown me this building paid for.
Yes.
And that is what I'm believing for.
Yeah.
I went to a service and they asked you, let's give it up for Jesus. Let's go ahead and give it up for Jesus right now. Come on.